This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? Well, Jesus once told his followers it meant hating one's father and mother. Now, what did he mean by that? Stay tuned as we discuss Jesus' words in today's message entitled, The Cost of Discipleship.
We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you give us the grace and stand with us when we have to say no to the world and yes to Christ. That there is such a thing as a cost to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen. Friends in Christ. Our text today is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning at the 25th verse. It reads as follows. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, This fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. What did Jesus mean when he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, he cannot be my disciple"? Now notice, disciple is one thing. There are millions and millions of people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, but in comparison, there are few disciples. We see that quite often. A group of men were together and they were talking about religion, and they were asking what kind of a denomination each one belonged to, and they stated. And then this man said, "Well, I guess I'm just a Christian." "Well, we go to the Lutheran church or the Presbyterian church, but you see, when my wife and I were married, neither one of us had anything to do with the church. But then my wife began to go to church with one of her friends, and she was converted. And now she'll say real often that which we used to do, we can't do. That was our own will. But now we have to follow the will of Jesus." In other words, Jesus has come to the throne, and we have to pass into the shadows. Well, as men, at least had some understanding of what the Christian faith was all about. Some have said, and I think this is really true, that it is something that the church must absolutely deal with. There are so many who are followers, but so few who really are disciples. You perhaps have heard the story of two professors visiting with one another, and the one said, "So-and-so tells me that he was one of your students." And the professor answered, "He may have attended my lectures, but he was never one of my students." There is a world of difference between attending lectures and being a student. And then this famous professor said, "It is one of the supreme hardships of the church that in this world there are so many distant followers of Jesus and so many real disciples." Jesus was not telling us to hate our family, but you say it says it right there in the Bible. But you have to understand what he meant. For example, from day to day, our Lord Jesus wanted us to love one another. You hear that written over and over again. Father and mother and sister and brother, and the home was to be one of the most blessed places in the world. But what Jesus was saying is this. Let's imagine that there comes a time when what we were doing is contrary to the will of God. And now we have become Christians, and we must have to put Jesus on the throne. In other words, we have to hate what we had been doing because it was contrary to the word of God, and put Jesus on there to guide us and to direct us and to really know what is right for us and for our families. There is a cost in this thing. You see, when I really like to do something in a particular way, even though it is wrong, that really costs me something. when I have to say no, even if it's Jesus. Strange, isn't it? Let's see if we can get a better hold on it. And to do this, I'm going to use what I feel today is one of the most mature Christians who has walked on the face of this earth. And he lived only 100 years ago. This man was named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was born in Germany, and he was one of 8 children. In fact, he was a twin. He was born 20 minutes before his twin sister. His father was not a Christian. He claimed to be an agnostic. He was supposed to be the supreme psychiatrist in the land of Germany. Stated in some of his books, he lived there in Berlin when he got this noted position. But prior to that, he had been out in a smaller place where the children were born. His father considered himself an agnostic, but his wife a Christian who taught her children the teachings of the Christian faith. When Karl, which was his father's first name, was not a Christian, he respected his wife's convictions and gave his approvals to it. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer was 14 years of age, now remember, he's one of 8 children. His siblings were not very, at least some of them, were not very favorable to that. They did not give approval to his wasting that good mind by studying theology. But his mother believed in living one's faith, and she made it clear to those in her family that if Dietrich wanted to teach theology, so be it. That's maybe what God wanted him to do. Christianity was not just going to church. Christianity was not a place where you keep a few laws and probably rattle off a 2 or 3 nice scripture passages. There was no place for false piety in our home, Sabin wrote. That was his twin sister. Mere church going had little charm for my mother. The concept of cheap grace that Dietrich would later make so famous, he might have got from his mother. Cheap grace. Saying that you believe in Christ, be a follower of Christ, but not a disciple. In 1931, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in New York, planning to study, and did study, and teach a little bit at Union Seminary. But he was highly disappointed. Things were bad in Germany, and Dietrich felt that he had to go home. The leaders at Union pleaded with him to stay, for they saw his keen mind, but he could not be persuaded. There were many other things, without a doubt, those who knew him felt, that sent him back to Germany. It might have been the liberal theology at Union which disappointed him. After all, they were trying to get rid of the fundamentalists, and there was no way that they could have that type of theology around. He is quoted as saying, "In New York, they preach about everything, only one thing is not addressed. Or if it is addressed, so rarely it is that I have not as yet been able to find it. And that is the gospel. I do not hear from these beautiful, beautiful cathedrals and churches here in Manhattan, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I seldom hear the name of Jesus. I seldom hear the talk about the cross, where Jesus suffered and died for the sins of the world. And every person to be a Christian must accept this and believe it. I didn't meet it there. I didn't meet any talk about forgiveness. I didn't meet any talk about death. I didn't hear any talk about life eternal. And then he would pause and he would say, no, that is wrong. I have discovered where the gospel is. But now just hold your chair. The one notable exception in preaching in New York, Bonhoeffer said, was in the black church. There he could hear the gospel. In his year in New York, he had more valuable experiences in that black church than any other place. He spent much of his time with the blacks and worshiped each Sunday in the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Holland. That is, each Sunday that he was in New York. So with that disappointment, and yet with this great joy of getting to know these black brothers who let their gospel come, even though they did not have all the beautiful English, etc., Diedrich Bonhoeffer was thankful. So it wasn't long before he was on a ship on his way back to his native Germany. But when he got home, he was only there 10 days before he went down to Switzerland to visit with a man who became a very, very close friend, Dr. Karl Barth. They had many good sessions together, and Barth helped Bonhoeffer. And I believe Bonhoeffer might also help Karl Barth. Hitler was really doing well. He was leading Germany on to victory. He was thoroughly convinced that the future of Germany was in the hand of Adolf Hitler. But Bonhoeffer knew differently. And so he said, no, 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 it's in the hands of Almighty God. So when Hitler heard there were voices like Dietrich Bonhoeffer's, there was only one thing to do. Kill them or put them in prison. But Bonhoeffer was put in prison, and he sat in one prison after another for a lot of months and years. And then finally there came that day when Hitler was not doing so well. He had lost the war. He knew there was no chance for him to win it, but that evil man and that corrupt spirit that was within him decided, before I die by taking my own life, I will see that some of these other men die also. And so he thought of Bonhoeffer, and he was one of a few who just really a few days before the end of the war, why was there any sense to bury, to kill them? He did. That evil man. Bonhoeffer was there in prison with his fellow men. And they would say to him on Sunday morning, Diedrich, write us a prayer. Write us a song. He had that talent. And this is one that he wrote. O God, early in the morning do I cry unto thee. It was morning. the day he was going to die. Help me to pray and to think only of thee. I cannot pray alone. In me there is darkness, but with thee there is light. I am lonely, but thou leavest me not. I am feeble in heart, but thou leavest me not. I am restless, but with thee there is peace. In me there is bitterness, but with thee there is patience. The ways are past understanding, but thou knowest the way for me. And with that, they sang a couple of hymns. And there was a call at the door. It said this: Prisoner Bonhoeffer, get ready to come with me. He did. But he gave them some closing words. As he quoted Isaiah 53:5, with his stripes we are healed. And 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, prisoner Bonhoeffer followed the man who said, come. But as he left the room, he said to his friends, this is the end. But for me, on this April 8th, it is the beginning of life. And he was hanged. The historian writes, Bonhoeffer's death was almost certainly by the decree of Adolf Hitler. Why would he want to hurt this man? He couldn't win any more battles, but there was that evilness within him that said that if he had to die, they too would die. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer learned the price of discipleship. Now we will not have, probably, pray to God, never, none of us, any experience like this. But we'll have many experiences where we have to admit that there is a cost in being a disciple of Jesus. It doesn't cost much to be a follower, but to follow him as a disciple can mean a great deal. In the family, at our work, in school, in our social life, something that we wanted to do so badly, but now it could not be done because it was wrong. And we had to be dethroned. That was the cost of discipleship. Be it a great thing like Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to go through, or some simple thing that we have to go through. For us to be disciples of Jesus Christ, there is the cost of discipleship. Amen. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My grace. Thank you. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can examine the life of a Dietrich Bonhoeffer and know that the Holy Spirit working in that man has so grabbed his soul that he could look even a man like Adolf Hitler in the face and say, "The hands of the German people is with God and not with you." Lord, in our own little way, when our ways are not always your ways, help us to understand that we too shall understand the cost of discipleship. For it is not much in comparison with what you have done for us, suffered and died that we might live forever and have a companion walking right beside us until we breathe our last. Hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help you remain firm in your Christian walk, even when the cost of being a disciple is high. Our first broadcast was aired on September 6, 1936, on WMT Radio, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. We now broadcast on 23 stations in 11 states across our nation, shortwave in Europe, and on the Internet. You're invited to commemorate this milestone in Christian broadcasting by considering an anniversary gift of $78 for the number of years Christian Crusaders has been on the air. We are grateful to those of you who help make this ministry possible with your prayers and financial support. CDs and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You can also call us toll-free at 1-888-693-2484. If you're in the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can call 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.